Welcome, lovelies, to today's episode where we are talking to my really great friend, sweet friend. We've known each other for a long time, Kristen Maynard. It feels like a lifetime has passed already. I can't believe it. I can't believe how long. And all the different things that we've seen in our ministry journey together. Kristen and I were on staff at a church together for a long time, and it's been amazing to see you grow family, grow in your ministry and in your calling. And so I am excited to introduce you to See, Hear, Love and all the people that are listening on the other side of us. So welcome today.
Thanks, Anne. I think I still remember the first time we met. Do you remember this? We met at our lead pastor's house and you came in. I remember hugging your leg for some reason. I don't know why I was, but I just remember that really clearly. It was like over a decade ago.
Well, let me see what the future would hold. That's hilarious.
So much. Yeah.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are before we jump into this conversation of wonder and the wonder of our identity. That's our topic today. But before that, tell them who you are. Tell them a little bit about you.
Okay, thanks, Anne. So we served in ministry together at our last church for 10, 11 years we were there. We were at a church prior to that. When I say we, my husband and I both pastor at our church. And now we moved recently to Vintage Church out in Los Angeles. And so we've been here for just a few months. We moved in the summer of 2025. And so far, it's just been a really beautiful journey.
And what are you doing at Vintage? What's your role right now?
So my role is technically I'm pastoring communities and discipleship. And so that's just a ton of fun. It's the leadership team is just full of just really beautiful, humble, like, let's not go after the celebrity culture, America. Like, it's just really beautiful. I love it here.
That's our next podcast. Why don't we talk about that? Seen map few people from your team. It's such a hot topic right now. But this topic in particular, when I reached out to you and I was like, I want to talk about wonder. I want to talk about the wonder of like God and scripture. And just, I don't want to lose that wonder of who God is. And right away you responded and you're like, oh, I've got something. So tell me a little bit about that. Why did this spark your interest? Is there some passion behind this?
Yeah, so identity, I think, is huge. I think it's like the filter that we see our world through. And I think on one end, I think you see your identity in God in the correct positive light, which I think has so many theological but also personal experiences. But it's like the wholeness that you actually live in. But when you don't see that, I think the reality is a lot of us go through our lives not actually understanding the identity that we have in Christ. And it just breaks my heart because it's like, it's seeing yourself as valued, seeing what God has given you. And it's like when you give your kids a gift and it's like they don't use it or they store it away. It's like there's so much at hand. And so I think it's a personal thing, but it's also, it hurts my heart.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think our generation's in an identity crisis. We don't know. I've said this many times, whether it's preaching in a pulpit or in private conversations. I feel like our listeners we're having a coffee date right now. You got a coffee in hand. I've got my coffee in hand. And we're just like, all right, you know, they're just eavesdropping on our conversation. But I've seen it it doesn't matter what the generation, if it's the younger people, which sometimes as older people, you and I are probably like a decade apart in age, but we look at the younger ones, like, oh, they're so lost. And then we look at the ones that are older than us, look at us and go, oh, they're so lost. You know, like, it's just like, they don't know who they are. But I really do sense this identity crisis, and it's deep. It's like, it's not this surface level of people are searching for their purpose. There's a confusion that's happening. And so as Christians, though, I'm seeing the exact same thing of the confusion there. And so that's what I want us to lean into.
Yeah.
Where are the Christ followers? How, like, what is happening where people are getting confused about their identity and purpose in God? Let's talk about that for a little bit.
It's super interesting. Like, even as you're talking, I wasn't preparing to talk about any of this, but so I'm working my doctorate right now, and I'm probably, I don't know, somewhere halfway. And I'm writing about all, what does it mean to live by, what does it mean to live in a secular age in faith? Because I think exactly what you're saying, we live, so many of us as Christians, we're facing the struggle of how do we actually live our lives with meaning and purpose, even in the faith and outside of the faith. And so my whole thing is, I go through, you know, Charles Taylor's whole secular age. How did we get here? Because we used to live like 500 years ago. We all lived with the reality that there was the spiritual realm. There was integration with our physical world, but also our spiritual world. And, you know, people had faith, whether that be in different religions, but it was just a regular part of our lives. And then with like the whole fast forward things of, you know, enlightenment and like, who are you as an individual? And I think therefore I am, like, we come into this wrestle with, well, what's my identity? And then it leaves people to their own vices of searching for purpose and meaning on their own. And we get into this whole radical individualism. But I think where that leaves us now is just a big question mark of what makes me happy. And I really wasn't going to go here, but James Smith of like, when you actually look deep within your soul, do you actually know what will bring you happiness? I think we have ideas of what it might be, but it's just, we go after a goal. We think it's going to make us happy. It doesn't. And then we go after the next. It doesn't make us happy. And so I think three things of when it comes to our identity and really how do we live that out? I think about things like calling and gifting and ownership. And so I think on the first end, calling, with this idea of, we say we try and find our own happiness, we try and pursue our own goals, whether that be I want to be a mom, or I want to be I don't know, whatever vocation we work so hard in college and university for. And the problem is, like, we get there and then it's like, okay, now what, right? In philosophy, it's like the Sisyphean journey. It's like the image of you roll a big rock up a hill. You work so hard to get there, only till when you get to the top, the rock just falls down. And then you just push it back up again, and then it falls down. And so I think it's the human wrestle of really trying to find who we are. And so I think when it comes to calling, I love what one theologian says. He says, so often we get so caught up in the question of where is God calling me? Where is God calling me? When really the question that comes before that should be, where has God already called you? Because I think we look at scripture and it's very clear what he's already called us to. He's called us to love him, to love others around us. And I think we often think that it's like a secondary thing, or we can integrate it. It's like a, you know, side thing that we do, because our world has, you know, prioritized things like vocation and status and relationship. I was actually thinking about, you know, so we created a website. You were a part of this project. When we created a website for our church, it was like all about creating courses to grow in your faith. And I remember doing so much research about apps and stuff and just how our mind works, and so many apps and games out there. It's like you get that ring of completion, or like you get that ding, ding, ding. Like, even I think some of the Bible apps, like, you got a 100-day like fall, like, because there's something like in our dopamine, like, it's like, oh, check, we did it. Like, it feels good to have that like click of success. And I think when it comes to the faith, we don't get that. Like, you think about the spiritual realm, you think about all the things that we do out of what we're talking about, like the first question, what has God already called you to? Like, when I go and love my neighbor, I'm not getting any reward. Like, well, right now I'm not getting any, like, ding, like, ring of revelation, you did it.
No.
But I think our world has wired us so much to think that way and look for these ways of being. And I don't know, I'm trying to kind of rambling now, but
no, you know, I love how you think. And for our listeners, Kristen is like, you're an academic. You're finishing your doctorate, for crying out. This is like amazing. This is your area of study and research. You've put time in here and you've had personal experience too. So you're those three things, like the calling, the gifting, the, what was the third one? Is it ownership?
Ownership. Yeah. Ownership.
Like that's a huge piece just to reflect on. I hope that your doctorate turns into a book, because I think we all need it. I think we all need to whatever you end up creating, because there is an actual crisis. And I think part of it too is because people don't actually study God's word in the same way as maybe once upon a time, even the generations before us had things like Sunday schools or Bible studies and this kind of stuff, where it wasn't that you had to go to university and be a theologian. They just wanted to know God's word. And so can we geek out a little bit on scripture and say, what does the actual scripture say about our identity? And why should we trust it?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like my mind can go so many ways when it comes to scripture and identity, because I feel like all of scripture really tells us about our identity. It's like, where do we find ourselves in the storyline of Christ? I think there's a drama of scripture, Craig Bartholomew, that's like one of my favorite books, where it just talks about the drama, the whole storyline of scripture, and we're just playing our part in this greater storyline. It's like how it talks about we're a blip that just appears for a short time and vanishes. Like, it's truly God is unfolding the storyline that we get the privilege to be a part of. Scripture, though, I don't know. There's so many. Okay, so when I think about spiritual giftings, if we go skip spiritual giftings, because I think that's a part of our identity. And I think it's an interesting topic in the sense where I think a lot of us go after our giftings and like go after, you know, we like the Enneagram. Even being here in LA, it's like people introduce themselves with like their number. Okay. And I think we just like these assessments to like just kind of figure ourselves out, but also like help us understand who we are as human beings. And so I think like there's a kind of an intrigue right now around, you know, naming our spiritual giftings. Even there's these assessments of like, what is it? And if we're talking about scripture, I think about, you know, all the text in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12 or Ephesians 4, where it talks about our giftings. But I love what Daryl Johnson says about spiritual giftings. He has like the best analogy. Okay, but before I get to it, because it's like, it's really cute. It's like a person carrying a plate of cookies.
Oh, we both love Daryl Johnson. We were talking about him on this podcast. He's just so sweet. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he can say anything, and it's like,
it's always like a wow, like a mic drop moment for me.
Yeah. Totally. And he's so sweet while he does it, too.
They were Fender, right?
Okay, before his analogy, so I think the theological part that's really interesting. In Romans 12, it talks about how we all have gifts according to the grace that he's given us.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, so when you take that Greek word grace, and it's charisma, and what I love about this is charis means grace, but the two letters like ma, when that's attached to an abstract form or noun, it's like the concrete expression of that noun. And so having gifts that accord to the grace given to you, it's actually the concrete expression of grace. So when we talk about spiritual giftings, I think we think of it in more like it's in you, or it's like kind of living in the spiritual realm. But the fact that it's actually pulled down into like either a physical or tangible, concrete expression of God's grace, then it's like, oh, we're actually living this out in everyday life. And so I think this is where Dale Johnson's analogy is so great. So he says, imagine someone was walking with a plate of cookies. I don't know, call him whatever a name, Brad. Okay, Brad's walking with a plate of cookies and he trips and he falls.
Oh.
And so Daryl goes, so instead of like being stuck like in a corner, like, what are my spiritual giftings? He goes, Well, what's your natural response to Brad tripping with a plate of cookies? Like, would you go down and like on your knees and help pick them up? And that's the gift of service. And then he's like, or would you rather, when Brad trips, would you get down with him and be like, you really shouldn't have done that. Like, next time you need to do a lot of that. Like, maybe you have the gift of teaching. Or like, I don't know, he goes through the whole list of like, you know, hospitality or like leadership. He's like, you over there, you go help Brad, you go get another plate of cookies, or like just the different giftings that you have is a natural expression, a concrete expression, like actually lived out in the way that we're already working in it. And so I think it's the beauty that our natural response, and even like someone in their kitchen thinking about God as they're washing their dishes, like these are our natural responses that I believe that by the Holy Spirit he's enabled us just to live out our identity, but also our giftings. And I think we sometimes make it such a far-fetched thing, but it's actually something that we're already living in.
Yeah. That's amazing, because spiritual gifts, I think, is it's not a trend. It's something that is actually in Scripture. And there's like the core, which we all know. You are made in God's image. You are beloved. You're chosen. We know those things. This is my go-to is always Ephesians chapter 1. It's like just read the list for homework and start to write out all the things. You are adopted. You're chosen. You're beloved. Just start to write out all of the adjectives of who you are as a child of God. That is kind of a base level image bearers. And we can unpack that at a different time. But when you start to unpack spiritual gifts, I love this imagery. I love that it's, you can't do anything for it. It's part of you. It's beautiful. And so, okay, let's say we figure it out. We figure out what we should do with the cookies. We figure out how we, what our spiritual gifts, what our wiring is. I don't know if you have any other resources that you want to share with us about this, but how would we live differently because of that discovery of who we are and who we're made to be on this planet?
Mm-hmm. That's really good. You know, so the other night we were doing this, we had this school of discipleship at our church, and we were talking about, I heard one of the pastors say, the kingdom of God breaking through, the kingdom of God breaking through. And the beauty of this space is that we just unpack, what are all these Christian terms that we say all the time? Like, what does that actually mean? And so the next time I did a teaching, I just unpacked that for an hour with them.
Like, you know, this is absurd. You know, I love this stuff because that's like, what kind of foreign language have we created?
But okay. Love it, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more. I want to hear.
We're the same in this. I don't want to bore your listeners because we went all into like over under like realized eschatology, that it really is like our viewpoint that how do we see the world and how are we living our lives as though we're waiting for heaven to come? And it's like we're almost just going through the motions to get to heaven. And we think that's kind of the ultimate goal. That is under-realized eschatology, if anybody wants to know the technical term. And then the opposite is, are we living in this other over-realized eschatology where we think heaven has already come? I don't think anybody would say that, but we would live it out in the sense of we're not thinking about life after death. We're just only thinking about this moment. And I think the unfortunate part about that is then we live in more of a, like the Corinthians, the early church in Corinth lived this way, where some people actually thought they were already living in the resurrection, thinking they were spiritually elite. I don't think we see that today. I think more how it plays out is we live with like a health and wealth gospel, thinking that everything should be perfect right now, or there should be no suffering, or if I want this or I have a desire for this, it should come true. And so where I'm trying to get with this is we're living in this now and not yet kingdom that we talk about, and how God or Jesus came after resurrection and just kept talking about the kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And so when we talk about like, how do we actually live our giftings out today? It's this idea that the kingdom of God, and you look at the Greek word for kingdom, it's basileia. And basileia, I love it so much because kingdom can easily be broken down into three words. A kingdom is a people, a land, and a ruler. And it's just so simple, a people, land, and a ruler. And so when we say kingdom of God, what we're saying is a people or a person, a land, and placing God as the rightful ruler of that person or the people. And so it comes in just regular, like when someone gives their life to God, it's a person on a land putting, making God the rightful place in their lives. When people get married in front of people, it's saying and professing God is going to be the center of our marriage. So it's these two people coming together saying God is, the kingdom of God is breaking through because God is now in the rightful place. So, and then it follows after that, though, because it's not just those one experiences, but even for that married couple example, it's like when they're in their home having dinner with one another, how they talk to one another, or how they serve one another, how they love one another. That's again and again and again, God taking his rightful place as ruler over their lives on that land. And so that's literally God breaking through again and again and again in all the little moments of our lives. And so I think we think about how God's already equipped us, how God has says he has given us his spirit. And even through our groaning, like he's interceding for us. I think we complicate it so much that we think, you know, we have to do all these holy, like spiritual, and don't get me wrong, those are beautiful and good, but it's like, but the spirit is active constantly. And every day, and even when our thoughts, like when it says in Genesis, when Abraham believed the Lord, he credited it to him as righteousness. It's just the belief in God. It's literally when we turn our eyes to God, like when we groan in suffering, or when we come to him in prayer, like it's all these little moments where it's like these beautiful slivers of the kingdom of God breaking through again and again and again. And then I think the beauty of that is when it says one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, it's the beauty that then all people around the whole world and over all the land professes Jesus. God is taking his rightful place as Lord. Like, it's wild. And we are actually participating in that with the little moments of every single day of how we just understand our co-heir. Like, we're co-heir with Christ. We are building. And I think, sorry,
No, this is perfect, because you know what? The ones that are listening on the other side, there's someone that's going to school right now on a bus ride, and they're listening and going like, yeah, how am I building right now? There's someone folding laundry and they're listening and they're like, ooh, how am I building right now? What is my purpose in this kingdom building thing that feels like maybe I'm not as important as someone else? And what you're saying is every single one of us has a place and a purpose. And it might feel like changing a diaper or studying for an exam or, you know, baking cookies is feels meaningless, but it isn't. There's more to us than what meets the eye. And if we actually turn our eyes to God in those ordinary moments, I think we'll experience the wonder of the extraordinary. The fact that he can be present with you when you're doing that, the fact that you can sense his presence, it's all of that makes my wonder like just explode. Like, how is he present with you there in LA? And he's present with me here. He's present with this woman that's listening right now. Like, doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you're in Canada, if you're in the Philippines, if you're in wherever you are, it's you're listening in and God is speaking to you the same way he's speaking to us right now. There's a wonder about that. There's like a glory and a majesty and an awe of who he is and the fact that he's made us to build his kingdom. I'd love to keep going.
If anybody is listening and they want a resource on this, Tish Warren's Liturgy of the Ordinary is a really good book where it kind of walks through, like, she's a fantastic writer. I think she's gotten awards for this, but I think she's also an Anglican. I don't know. Don't quote me. Just Google her. But she walks through a day just in a life. She's like, goes from like making the bed to brushing your teeth. And the beauty of how you can reframe your mind that you actually are, like, and I think about the rings of completion again. If we just imagine the spiritual realm, and even the words like Jesus says, what you've done to the least of these, you've done for me. Like, when you're literally changing a diaper, it's like what you've done for the Lisa, you've done for me. And it's like all these moments that we do, it's like imagining the spiritual realm where it's like ding, 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 ding. You literally just think about him. You literally just groan in the spirit. It's like ding, ding, like you're, the kingdom of God is breaking through in the everyday moments. And I think about how it says in John 14, I believe, about it talks about how we will do the works that Jesus has done, but, and there's a line in there, it says something about, but greater than these things. And I know there's a lot of like back and forth what that actually means, but I remember just thinking this through, and I'm like, to be honest, like there are moments in my mind where I'm like, yeah, right, like yeah, right, like but like greater things than Jesus, like that's insane. And then I think about like, yeah, the spirit, how he's enabling us to do what Jesus did. We are co-heirs with him. And I think that's the ownership piece of, I think often we go throughout our lives not recognizing who he actually sees us as, who we actually are as co-heirs, as people enabled by the spirit to actually accomplish greater things. And I was walking this through with some of our staff, and I was like, you know what? I think that when we actually say, yeah, right to this, and I think it's an easy default response where we kind of out of like our false humility, like, oh, there's no way like God could use me. But I think that's actually pride. Like where we come in and we say things like, there's no way God could ever use me. There's no way. When he said he will use you, and if you would just come to him in this posture of surrender and weakness, there's this quote here on my phone with Oswald Chambers. Okay, this is another great resource. My utmost for his highest.
It's a classic.
It's all on your phone. It's like utmost.org, I think. Every morning, I'm just reading it. And the other day, there was this line that says, if any man or woman seems to possess divine wisdom, it's because they were childlike and simple enough to trust the supernatural guidance of God.
Beautiful.
I love that. But I think it ties to this identity, like by taking ownership of who he actually calls us to be, of the giftings, the identity, the fact that we can partner with the Holy Spirit in the breaking, in breaking the kingdom of God in every single moment of every single day, is us actually having the eyes to see that of what we're actually doing in the greater scheme of everything.
Wow.
And so I think it's taking on the ownership, but also coming in so much humility, like, yeah, God, use me. And I don't know, I could go on forever, because I feel like even for us as a church staff, it's like, yeah, we feel the call to, you know, do things in LA and the kingdom of God breaking through. And it's like, but God, how could you use me? Like, and it's this trust. It's like, but he wants to, just let him use you. And so I think in every single life and every single person's context and community, it's like, it affects how you view the other. Even like when you're at the grocery store and when you think things of like, I don't have the ability to actually say something into life that'll change the course of their life. Like, it's these small, subtle things of, the next person I'm talking to, my neighbor, like if I just encourage them or go out of my way to love them or show them Christ's love, you can actually alter the course of their future down the road. Like it's actually understanding the power of the Holy Spirit that's in and through you in every moment of every day. It's really humbling, but it's also really exciting.
I love that. I love that. The exciting part is it makes, again, as we've talked about this wonder theme, it makes me just wonder about God. It makes me marvel about who he is and who he's made us to be and who he's made me to be. And so I'd love for you to pray for us as a See, Hear, Love community, for those that are listening in. Maybe they need to see that breaking through. Maybe they need the eyes to see. And maybe people are experiencing that, and that's contagious. And so would you pray for us as we close up today?
I would love to. Yeah, Father, we come to you wherever we are. Just whatever situation, relationships, life stage we are right now. And even with the longings and the inner questions of even things that we're talking about, calling, what do you have for me next? Or where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I just thank you first and foremost that you are with us exactly where we are. And you see every desire of our hearts and our deep longings. And you don't just leave us at a distance, but you actually come right alongside us. And you hold these desires with us in your great compassion and great love. And Father, I pray just out of this love, would you just speak identity and truth of how you see us? And how in your word you call us things like your daughters, your sons, you call us co-heirs. You enable us by your spirit on a second-by-second basis. And so, Father, I just pray wherever we are, would you just fill us afresh with your spirit? Would you give us eyes to see just where the next step is? Not just a billion steps away, just the next step. Who are the people around us that we can love? Who are the people around us we can serve? How can we direct our thoughts to you again and again? And instead of rings of completion, little dings, I just pray that we would sense the delight, your smile just radiating over us as we do. Would you be glorified in us? I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's been a delight, my friend, to hear you just dive into this topic, and it's impacted my life so much. And so until next time.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.